Chapter 33. For you. Apostrophe apostrophe Mr. Panks here made a singular and startling noise, produced by a strong blowing effort in the region of the nose, unattended by any result, but that acoustic one. You have some extent of such property about the east and northeast here, I believe? Apostrophe apostrophe said Clennam, doubtful which of the two to address. Oh, pretty well, apostrophe said Panks. You're not particular to east or northeast, any point of the compass will do for you. What you want is a good investment and a quick return. You take it where you can find it. You ain't nice, as to situation not you. Apostrophe, there was a fourth and most original figure in the patriarchal tent, who also appeared before dinner. This was an amazing little old woman, with a face like a staring wooden doll too cheap for expression, and a stiff yellow wig perched unevenly on the top of her head, as if the child who owned the doll had driven a tack through it anywhere, so that it only got fastened on. Another remarkable thing in this little old woman was, that the same child seemed to have damaged her face in two or three places with some blunt instrument in the nature of a spoon. Her countenance, and particularly the tip of her nose, presenting the phenomena of several dints, generally answering to the bowl of that article. A further remarkable thing in this little old woman was, that she had no name, but Mr. F.S. and she broke upon the visitor's view under the following circumstances. Flora said when the first dish was being put on the table, perhaps Mr. Clennam might not have heard that Mr. F. had left her a legacy? Clennam in return implied his hope that Mr. F. had endowed the wife whom he adored with the greater part of his worldly substance, if not with all. Flora said, oh yes, she didn't mean that. Mr. F. had made a beautiful will, but he had left her as a separate legacy, his aunt. She then went out of the room to fetch the legacy, and, on her return, rather triumphantly presented Mr. F.S. and apostrophe, the major characteristics discoverable by the stranger in Mr. F.S. and were extreme severity and grim taciturnity, sometimes interrupted by a propensity to offer remarks in a deep warning voice, which, being totally uncalled for by anything said by anybody, and traceable to no association of ideas, confounded and terrified the mind. Mr. F.S. Ant may have thrown in these observations on some system of her own, and it may have been ingenious, or even subtle. But the key to it was wanted. The neatly served and well-cooked dinner, for everything about the patriarchal household promoted quiet digestion, began with some soup, some fried soles, a butter boat of shrimp sauce, and a dish of potatoes. The conversation still turned on the receipt of rents. Mr. F.S. and, after regarding the company for 10 minutes with a malevolent gaze, delivered the following fearful remark. When we lived at Henley, Barnes Gander was stole by tinkers. Apostrophe Mr. Panks courageously nodded his head and said, all right, ma'am. Apostrophe but the effect of this mysterious communication upon Clennam was absolutely to frighten him. And another circumstance invested this old lady with peculiar terrors. Though she was always staring, she never acknowledged that she saw any individual. The polite and attentive stranger would desire, say, to consult her inclinations on the subject of potatoes. His expressive action would be hopelessly lost upon her, and what could he do? No man could say, Mr. F.S. and, will you permit me? Apostrophe every man retired from the spoon, as Clennam did, cowed and baffled. There was mutton, a steak, and an apple pie, nothing in the remotest way connected with Gander's, and the dinner went on like a disenchanted feast, as it truly was. Once upon a time Clennam had sat at that table taking no heed of anything but Flora. Now the principal heed he took of Flora was to observe, against his will, that she was very fond of porter, that she combined a great deal of sherry with sentiment, and that if she were a little overgrown, it was upon substantial grounds. The last of the patriarchs had always been a mighty eater, and he disposed of an immense quantity of solid food with the benignity of a good soul who was feeding someone else. Mr. Panks, who was always in a hurry, and who referred at intervals to a little dirty notebook which he kept beside him, perhaps containing the names of the defaulters he meant to look up by way of dessert, took in his victuals much, as if he were coaling, with a good deal of noise, a good deal of dropping about, and a puff and a snort occasionally, as if he were nearly ready to steam away. All through dinner, Flora combined her present appetite for eating and drinking with her past appetite for romantic love, in a way that made Clennam afraid to lift his eyes from his plate, since he could not look towards her without receiving some glance of mysterious meaning or warning, as if they were engaged in a plot. Mr. F.S. Ant sat silently defying him with an aspect of the greatest bitterness, until the removal of the cloth, and the appearance of the decanters, when she originated another observation struck into the conversation like a clock, without consulting anybody. Flora had just said, "Mr. Clennam, will you give me a glass of port for Mr. F.S. Ant?" Apostrophe, the monument near London Bridge, apostrophe that lady instantly proclaimed, was put up after the Great Fire of London, and the Great Fire of London was not the fire in which your Uncle George's workshops was burned down. Apostrophe, Mr. Pancks, with his former courage, said, "Indeed, ma'am? All right." Apostrophe, apostrophe, but appearing to be incensed by imaginary contradiction, or other ill usage, Mr. F.S. Ant, instead of relapsing into silence, made the following additional proclamation. "I hate a fool." Apostrophe, apostrophe, she imparted to this sentiment, in itself almost Solomonic, so extremely injurious and personal a character, by leveling it straight at the visitor's head, that it became necessary to lead Mr. F.S. Ant from the room. This was quietly done by Flora, Mr. F.S. Ant offering no resistance, but inquiring on her way out, what he come there for, then? Apostrophe, apostrophe, with implacable animosity. When Flora returned, she explained that her legacy was a clever old lady, but was sometimes a little singular, and took dislikes peculiarities of which Flora seemed to be proud rather than otherwise. As Flora's good nature shone in the case, Clennam had no fault to find with the old lady for eliciting it, now that he was relieved from the terrors of her presence, and they took a glass or two of wine in peace. Foreseeing then that the Panks would shortly get underway, and that the Patriarch would go to sleep, he pleaded the necessity of visiting his mother, and asked Mr. Panks in which direction he was going. "Citywards, sir, apostrophe," said Panks. "Shall we walk together?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Arthur. "Quite agreeable," apostrophe, said Panks. Meanwhile Flora was murmuring in rapid snatches for his ear, that there was a time, and that the past was a yawning gulf however, and that a golden chain no longer bound him, and that she revered the memory of the late Mr. F., and that she should be at home, tomorrow at 1:30, and that the decrees of fate were beyond recall, and that she considered nothing so improbable as that he ever walked on the northwest side of Gray's Inn Gardens at exactly 4:00 in the afternoon. He tried at parting to give his hand in frankness to the existing Flora, not the vanished Flora, or the mermaid, but Flora wouldn't have it, couldn't have it, was wholly destitute of the power of separating herself and him from their bygone characters. He left the house miserably enough, and so much more light-headed than ever, that if it had not been his good fortune to be towed away, he might, for the first quarter of an hour, have drifted anywhere. When he began to come to himself, in the cooler air and the absence of Flora, he found Panks at full speed, cropping such scanty pasturage of nails as he could find, and snorting at intervals. These, in conjunction with one hand in his pocket, and his roughened hat hindside before, were evidently the conditions under which he reflected. "A fresh night," apostrophe, apostrophe, said Arthur. "Yes, it's pretty fresh," apostrophe, assented Panks. "As a stranger you feel the climate more than I do, I dare say. Indeed I haven't got time to feel it." Apostrophe, "you lead such a busy life?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, "yes, I have always some of 'em to look up, or something to look after. But I like business, apostrophe said Pants, getting on a little faster. What's a man made for? Apostrophe, for nothing else? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Clennam. Pants put the counter question, what else? Apostrophe, apostrophe it packed up, in the smallest compass, a weight that had rested on Clennam's life, and he made no answer. That's what I ask our weekly tenants, apostrophe said Pants. Some of them will pull long faces to me, and say, poor as you see us, master, we're always grinding, drudging, toiling, every minute we're awake. I say to them, what else are you made for? It shuts them up. They haven't a word to answer. What else are you made for? That clinches it. Apostrophe, ah dear, dear, dear. Apostrophe, apostrophe sighed Clennam. Here am I, apostrophe said Pants, pursuing his argument with the weekly tenant. What else do you suppose I think I am made for? Nothing. Rattle me out of bed early, set me going, give me as short a time as you like to bolt my meals in, and keep me at it. Keep me always at it, and I'll keep you always at it, you keep somebody else always at it. There you are with the whole duty of man in a commercial country. Apostrophe, when they had walked a little further in silence, Clennam said. Have you no taste for anything, Mr. Pants? Apostrophe, apostrophe, what's taste? Apostrophe, apostrophe, dryly retorted Pants. Let us say inclination. Apostrophe, I have an inclination to get money, sir, apostrophe said Pants, if you will show me how. Apostrophe, he blew off that sound again, and it occurred to his companion for the first time that it was his way of laughing. He was a singular man in all respects. He might not have been quite in earnest, but that the short, hard, rapid manner in which he shot out these cinders of principles, as if it were done by mechanical revolvency, seemed irreconcilable with banter. You are no great reader, I suppose? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Clennam. Never read anything but letters and accounts. Never collect anything but advertisements relative to next of kin. If that's a taste, I have got that. You're not of the Clennams of Cornwall, Mr. Clennam? Apostrophe, apostrophe, not that I ever heard of. Apostrophe, I know you're not. I asked your mother, sir. She has too much character to let a chance escape her. Apostrophe, supposing I had been of the Clennams of Cornwall? Apostrophe, apostrophe, you'd have heard of something to your advantage. Apostrophe, indeed. I have heard of little enough to my advantage for some time. Apostrophe, there's a Cornish property going a begging, sir, and not a Cornish Clennam, to have it for the asking, apostrophe said Pants, taking his notebook from his breast pocket and putting it in again. I turn off here. I wish you good night. Apostrophe, good night. Apostrophe, apostrophe said Clennam. But the tug, suddenly lightened, and untrammeled by having any weight in tow, was already puffing away into the distance. They had crossed Smithfield together, and Clennam was left alone at the corner of Barbican. He had no intention of presenting himself in his mother's dismal room that night, and could not have felt more depressed and cast away if he had been in a wilderness. He turned slowly down Aldersgate Street, and was pondering his way along towards St. Paul's, purposing to come into one of the great thoroughfares for the sake of their light and life, when a crowd of people flocked towards him on the same pavement, and he stood aside against a shop to let them pass. As they came up, he made out that they were gathered around a something that was carried on men's shoulders. He soon saw that it was a litter, hastily made of a shutter or some such thing, and a recumbent figure upon it, and the scraps of conversation in the crowd, and a muddy bundle carried by one man, and a muddy hat carried by another, informed him that an accident had occurred. The litter stopped under a lamp before it had passed him half a dozen paces, for some readjustment of the burden, and, the crowd stopping too, he found himself in the midst of the array. An accident going to the hospital? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he asked an old man beside him, who stood shaking his head, inviting conversation. Yes, apostrophe said the man, along of the males. They ought to be prosecuted and fined, the males. They come a-racing out of Lad Lane and Wood Street at 12 or 14 mile a hour, the males do. The only wonder is, that people ain't killed oftener by the males. Apostrophe, this person is not killed, I hope. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I don't know. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the man, it an't for the want of a will in the males, if he an't. Apostrophe, the speaker having folded his arms, and said uncomfortably, to address his depreciation of the males to any of the bystanders who would listen, several voices, out of pure sympathy with the sufferer, confirmed him. One voice saying to Clennam, they're a public nuisance, the males, sir. Apostrophe another, I see one on them pull up within half a inch of a boy, last night. Apostrophe another, I see one on them go over a cat, sir, and it might have been your own mother. Apostrophe and all representing, by implication, that if he happened to possess any public influence, he could not use it better than against the males. Why, a native Englishman is put to it every night of his life, to save his life from the males, apostrophe argued the first old man, and he knows when they're a-coming round the corner, to tear him limb from limb. What can you expect from a poor foreigner who don't know nothing about them? Apostrophe, apostrophe, is this a foreigner? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Clennam, leaning forward to look. In the midst of such replies as Frenchman, sir, apostrophe Portuguese, sir, Dutchman, sir, apostrophe Prussian, sir, and other conflicting testimony, he now heard a feeble voice asking, both in Italian and in French, for water. A general remark going round, in reply, Ava, poor fellow, he says he'll never get over it, and no wonder. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Clennam begged to be allowed to pass, as he understood the poor creature. He was immediately handed to the front, to speak to him. First, he wants some water, apostrophe, said he, looking round. A dozen good fellows dispersed to get it. Are you badly hurt, my friend? Apostrophe, he asked the man on the litter, in Italian. Yes, sir, yes, yes, yes. It's my leg, it's my leg. But it pleases me to hear the old music, though I am very bad. Apostrophe, you are a traveler. Stay. See, the water. Let me give you some. Apostrophe, they had rested the litter on a pile of paving stones. It. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.